Hood River resident Arthur Babbitts is an engineer and a serial community volunteer, as we all know. Arthur served as the mayor of Hood River, now sits on the City of Hood River Planning Commission, the Landmarks Board, and the Historic Columbia River Highway Advisory Board. He's a board member of Livable Hood River, and also volunteers with the History Museum of Hood River, where he's helped digitalize more than 17,000 historic photos. He posts one of those photos each day to his blog, Historic Hood River. And everybody, please welcome Arthur Babbitts.
Thank you very much. I'm going to get this out of the way because you don't want to be able to see the pictures. There you go. Thank you. Okay, so I get invited to speak in public an awful lot, but usually when I'm speaking, it's about land use and zoning or budget policy or something that's that can be quite dull and quite serious. So when Eileen asked me if I would speak at this event, I said only if I got to talk about something really fun, like puppy dogs and kittens. And I thought about it for about 10 seconds or so, and I typed dog into my database of photographs at the museum and came up with about 260 hits in the database. And I was looking at these, and in about 20 minutes, I pulled together a really fun presentation. So I hope you enjoy it. It is called The Dogs of Dog River. I love that picture. So I'm going to start with something slightly serious, although this is courtesy of Hood River City Manager. He told me that after being in the city for a few years, he has developed a theory on the hierarchy of beings in Hood River. And he says, right at the top of the hierarchy is the tree. The tree is the most important being in Hood River. Yes, we appreciate that. Right after the tree is the dog. And I suspect the fact that the dogs are beneath the tree is why they pee on them so often. And of course, you would guess the fish is the next thing in the hierarchy of beings. We have a lot of fish biologists in the audience, I know. And the lowest form of life, well, along with the other low forms of life, is the human. And he said it was okay for me to attribute this to him, but that I had to say that he's just kidding. So I'll say that. He's just kidding, I'm sure. And what I'm going to do is just talk about, so I have a website called historichoodriver.com, and I put up photos every single day on that. Have any of you seen my photos? Yep, okay, yep. And so one of the running jokes is, where's the dog? Because almost every photo has a dog. So we're going to go through a little bit of Hood River's history and see some of the dogs. This is 1895. Hood River was the newest city in the state of Oregon at that point. And this is Oak Street. We're right at 4th Street, right between 3rd and 4th Street. And everything looks completely different, and yet there are a bunch of things that you can recognize. I realize I should probably move around so that different people are blocked at different times. Okay, I'll move over here. So here we are looking down Oak Street, and things look very unfamiliar, except that there are some very familiar things. You have people walking across the street much too slowly and not really paying attention. you have a bicycle, and of course you have a very self-confident dog. As we know, this dog knows its proper place, which is up on a pedestal. Here we are in 1902. The Paris Fair was still a wooden building back then. And this is Hood River again. We're looking from 4th Street right down. And by the way, if you wonder why we don't have room for parking and for cars on Oak Street, the curbs have not moved since this picture. They're in exactly the same spot, and that's not a joke. Here we see, looking down Oak Street, and we see this is pretty much a dead end. There is nothing behind us of any consequence, and that's why that dog is quite comfortable just sitting right in the middle of the road. And here we are a few years later. This is about 1910, and oops. Okay, 1910, the streets are kind of slushy after a slushy snowstorm. We all know exactly what this looks like and smells like. Mud all over the place. But as we would see today, two friends have run into each other on the street corner, and the dog is waiting obediently and politely as they finish their conversation. But rather than just, and here's 1920, or just a few years later, the road's actually been paved, and it goes somewhere now. You can go all the way to Portland taking the Columbia River Highway. And because of that, the dog that used to be in the street is now on the sidewalk. and is probably a little annoyed at these very noisy Model Ts going by. This is almost in front of Dog River Coffee, in case you need a reference. But what I really, I don't want to just keep showing pictures of dogs. I would like to tell you stories and tell you stories about the dogs and their owners. So this is Buster. Buster, you can see, is at the corner of 2nd and Oak. And this is Buster with his person, who's Dr. Marion Shaw. Marion Shaw and his wife and Buster lived in the house, which is called the Shaw Dumble House. Shaw coming from Marion Shaw. And that is on 9th Street at Sherman. I'm sure you've all passed by it 1,000 times. It's the house that's sort of up on a little pedestal there at the corner of Sherman and 9th. He was a doctor here between 1900 and about 1910. Here, number four, if you see down at the bottom, I'm going to move around again. I'll move over here. Number four is Shep. Shep is eyeing those pails full of huckleberries. And if you look carefully, you see that they're all lard pails. Everything was made with lard back in that era. And every picture you see of a general store, it's lined with lard pails. And every time you see people on outings, they're using lard pails as their buckets to collect things. So here we are with this dog is eyeing the lard pails. I'm not sure if it's for the lard that he thinks is in there or for the huckleberries that he can see there. But he is with Arlene Moore. And Arlene Moore is one of the people in Hood River who you really should know about. She was a champion of social justice. In her early years, her husband was one of the first linemen for the power company. But shortly after that, they set up an electric company where they sold light bulbs and switches and all the things you need, all the electrical supplies you would need. And they were operating right off of Oak Street at about where the bagel shop is now. And Arlene Moore took it upon herself to help the Native Americans with paperwork and with legal work. So pretty much like Kate, she was acting as a legal assistant and helping them identify how to protect their property rights and how to assert their rights. After that, in World War II, there was the terrible era when the American Legion removed the names of the Japanese American servicemen from the memorial at the, from the Wall of Honor at the courthouse. And she would not stand for that. And she and Reverend Sherman Burgoyne led the movement to get that corrected. And she was successful. She was successful, and the names were restored to the place of honor. And Hood River's, the smudge in Hood River's history is still there, but she did a good part of the work to correct that that horrible thing. Another person who's worth knowing about was Ann Lang. Ann Lang was a school teacher in the Dalles, but in the 1890s and 1900s, she was also a phenomenal photographer, an amateur, but really did amazing work. And here is her sister, Bess, and some of their friends and some very fidgety puppies. And along with them is Malcolm Moody. Now, there's a story, and people from the Dalles will probably tell you more of the details of it, but there was some relationship between Ann Lang, Bess Lang, her sister, and Malcolm Moody, which continued for their entire life. And there's people like to whisper about it, and it's lots of interesting stories that go on behind that. But what we're going to look at is her portraiture. So here's a wonderful portrait with puppies. As I promised you, there would be puppies here. And this is just, her portrait work is really quite amazing. This is a very badly degraded glass negative, and I could barely tell what it was when I first scanned it, but when I started to look at it, it's like, what an amazing portrait. And there's another amazing portrait. Same dog, actually, there. And then you see there's bunny rabbits, and then the hatchet. So you wonder which of these kids did not grow up right. And we'll just leave it at that. But what she's really known for, and we have half of her collection, and the Oregon Historical Society has the other half, is her photos of Cloud Cap Inn. Cloud Cap Inn was built in the 1880s, and between 1890 and 1904, every summer, she and her sister Bess and Malcolm Moody, that's where the rumors come from, would go up there every year and spend weeks to months at Cloud Cap, tromping around the mountains with Will Langell, who was their mountain guide. But she took some wonderful pictures there, and it's really the earliest, really good documentation we have of Cloud Cap Inn. And of course, there were always dogs around. And then this photo is the one that caused me to scan those 17,000 plus images that Doug mentioned. I saw this glass negative sitting in a pile of negatives at the museum. I held it up to light, looked at it, and said, we have to get a way to share these with the public. And here we see hunting dogs with the hunters. And here, this is Bess with Mace Baldwin. So Bess's boy, Mace Baldwin, was born in 1890 in a log cabin in what is now the village of Mount Hood. He went on to become one of the founding members of the Crag Rats. So he's very well known around here. And he actually was also one of the longest lived founding members of the Crag Rats. He lived until 1983. When he died, his obituary mentioned that his mother was a divorcee who was 35 years younger than his father. And I just want to say that I don't want stuff like that in my obituary, please.